keep some type of record of those, if it's possible? That's my query. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you, and good morning to everyone. Yes, that was my question as well, that what happens to those that have been rejected? Is there a record, and what are people to do if they have received a notice that it hasn't been accepted or that it's been rejected?
These are fair questions. Could you just explain to the House, please?
So what has happened with the one request that we have, there is a message that comes through that says content blocked because of unsatisfactory content, for example. And when the user gets that, they then inform the Parliament, and we then investigate what are the specific reasons relating to those. What happens on our email or our internet service provider is that we keep the record for 3 days, so we are able to keep a record of content that is blocked for the 3 days. What we have proposed, and recognizing that this is obviously the way forward for Parliament in terms of public access and public being able to submit this submission. So what we are going to put in place, because the emails are kept for 3 days, we will then ask for a record within 3 days, within a week. So 3 times a week that we will ask for that to be kept.
Is it possible to identify the people who made the submission and communicate with them so that they can resubmit, because they will not have missed the deadline? They will just have missed the deadline in the sense that their submissions didn't go through. Is there a way that that could be addressed?
Yes, we can definitely try to do that, especially when we have recognized the submissions and the specific emails.
Thank you, Chair. Just to build up on the Honourable Chair's question, is that probably moving forward, I will put it as a suggestion than a question, that there must be a mechanism of educating citizens to say what are the security things that will block their messages reaching Parliament, because they are not aware, they wouldn't have done that. So there is a gap, so that we need then get communication policy, must work on it. Thank you.
So educating us as public representatives, because we are the ones that must communicate with the public as to how to comply with the requirements of Parliament. So please educate us and give us speaking notes. Thank you. Thank you very much for the explanation. I hope that there will be no disinformation going forward. Honourable members, the agenda is before you, but before we proceed, let me just recap as to where we started, where we are, and where we should be going. You will recall that on the 3rd of November, we held a meeting and considered a draft bill produced by parliamentary staff, and all political parties were present, and we agreed on the text and agreed that political parties will go and seek further mandates to engage with that text. Now, when we met again on the 4th, some political parties had not yet consulted. We agreed there was a compromise that we gazette the earlier version and give political parties an opportunity to go back and seek mandates. So on that second sitting, then we agreed on the text that had to be gazetted. And the gazetting of that version was important to kickstart the process, and that was duly done. And that's why we began the process. Now, there has been some misunderstanding, because subsequent to the gazetting, the governing party, the African National Congress, had its own NEC and NEC Lekgotla, where they came up with their proposal. And apparently the proposal was read as what we as Parliament had accepted. As Parliament, all we did was to call on political parties to make submissions. We have not endorsed anybody's submission. We only called on all political parties to make submissions. So nobody should think that this committee is giving preferential treatment to any political party. We have repeatedly said all political parties, however small, will make their proposals, and their proposals will be given equal weight to all other proposals, even those who come from the governing party or the official opposition. So we are going to consider all proposals on their merits and demerits. And also, we are a representative and a participatory constitutional democracy. So what we are going to do as politicians or public representatives, we are going to accept that we don't have the monopoly of wisdom. The fact that the people elected us to be here, they are not suggesting that we are cleverer than them. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's provision for public hearings. We are going to listen to the people, what the people are saying. So we will take the proposals by political parties and take the proposals by the people themselves in terms of participatory democracy, and then synthesize. And on the basis of that, a new bill will be crafted, which will be then submitted to the National Assembly for consideration. So nobody should fear that we are going to prefer any political party over any other, and above all, nobody must fear that we are going to overlook what the people are saying, because Parliament is the only mechanism through which the will of the people can prevail, and our duty is to make sure that this Parliament gives effect to the will of the people. And the outcome of this process must actually be the outcome that the people of South Africa, both black and white, can say, yes, we have spoken. Not one grouping or the other has spoken. So that's the assurance that we want to give to South Africans, that we have no other agenda except giving effect to the will of the people. Now, the other thing is I have been approached as chairperson to say we published the bill over festive period, and people didn't have time to consult or to consider it, and I repeatedly said that I don't have the authority to extend any period because I'm not the ad hoc committee. I'm only the chairperson of the ad hoc committee. You honorable members are the people who have the deciding powers. So if after this deliberation you are of the view that we should extend the period, then you are the competent authority to extend the period, and then we can deliberate by how much, provided we are mindful of the fact that the matter that we are dealing with is a critical matter of national interest, because the people are uncertain as to where we are going, what we are trying to do. You know, our economy is not in good shape. We want investors, we want to create jobs. So the sooner this matter is settled, the better, so that the people of South Africa can go on with their lives knowing that they've entrusted their authority into capable hands like yours. So I have not been blocking anything, but I didn't want to arrogate to myself the power to extend deadlines, because that power vests in yourself, and I hope that we'll have an opportunity to engage with that matter of whether or not we extend and so on. Thank you very much. I will take the names, Honorable Lesoma, Honorable Matlatsi, Honorable Ndlozi, Honorable Dr. Doit, and Honorable Ndlozi, and Honorable Bongo. Yeah, Honorable Lesoma.
Thank you, Chair. One, before I make my input, I've noticed that we have been circulated with a sort of adjusted program, and I hope everybody has received. I'm just raising that for noting purposes. Okay, so I'm saying that I've noticed that we have also been provided with a proposed adjusted program. That's one. Two, Chair, probably we need, I would suggest to say that we need to say what will inform to extend the dates. One is an issue of, I'll make in my presentation also a suggestions in terms of dealing with the principles and specific suggestions. In terms for extending the call for public written submissions, I'll suggest that we add 15 days. Two, Chair, then we'll say that there will be an overspill in terms of end of March, which the House have given our life spent as an ad hoc committee, that we then will need another month to then, which will give us end of April instead of end of March. That we'll also consider, because it's more of a technical, tedious process, that when we split, we go for public hearings, we take note of the distance of various provinces in terms of geographical spread, the vastness. Two, also, we consider the to cover all, almost not all, cover all sections or corners of the provinces, i.e. the rural areas, the so-called affluent areas, and also the farm, which is dominated by farm inhabitants or people who are residing there. That will mean that it shouldn't be, I'm suggesting, Chair, it shouldn't be not lesser than 3 days in a province, but not more than 4 days. I'm putting a maximum, which will be informed by also taking into account the gaps between the province and the other province, that the members and the support staff has to travel. In most of majority of the provinces, also there are no flights, so we'll be driving 6 hours and all that. So they need also to, we need also through the administration consider the distance. The other one, Chair, when you stretch those days also, you must give a chance for the portfolio committee or ad hoc committee also one of the days to respect also the traditional leaders or the tribal authorities, so to speak, so that we can also introduce ourselves to them to say when it's a rural area, so that also there's that inclusivity. Also, we don't also like to say we surprise them that we are here. Noting that, Chair, all what I'm saying, that the communication publicity unit of Parliament will also communicate with the local municipality and so forth, but I thought probably if we can take that approach and members will also add and also then can make their further suggestions. In short, I'm saying that the public hearings for written submissions, 15 days, we add 15 days. Then in terms of extending our lifespan in terms of what we are going to request the House to approve is the 1 month, which is end of April. Thank you, Chair.
Of protocol, when you go into an area falling under a king or a queen, you introduce yourself that I'm here to talk to your people. I think it's a good proposal. Honorable Matlazi.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, before we move, I just want to get an indication. Are there formal requests for extensions that have been received by your office, besides you being called or being having and people coming to you as an individual to say we are requesting requests? That's point one. Point two, if there are, can we get an indication who has actually requested those extensions? And on what basis? Thirdly, as a committee, we were observant of the reality that the bill was published during the festive season, and we took cognizance of that, and we agreed. However, I am not hake hanani le taba ya hore re tse bonete ba gore batho ba rona ba kgona go etsa di. Sorry. We could extend the period. I'm of a view that it is necessary. We are dealing with a very significant issue. However, but it needs to be put on record to check who has actually requested the extension, on what basis, so that we record such. Secondly, I would have hoped that your office, Chair, take us through their plans in as far as public participation is concerned, and also take us through the implications of extending the period, looking into what Honorable Sommer has indicated, in as far as inclusiveness and everything else that is she actually raised. But can we get clarity so that as we agree to this particular extension, it is informed by formal requests received by your office? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, the
Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it's extremely important that we do discuss this extension of the time. This is something that in our last meeting we actually referred to and made a case for why it should be extended. So I think just for the record, it is important to note that our objections at regarding the time frame was not taken into consideration. So it's not just a matter of that the committee didn't decide on it. We were, in fact, we made the proposal that it should be extended for the reasons provided in the letter that we've also written to you. Chair, I would propose that if we do have an extension, which we strongly support, that it should be at least 4 weeks, because this now has to go out to the public, that they have an extended period in which they can comment. I think the issues in the past week have caused a lot of confusion, people not quite understanding what is going on and where the position is, what are they commenting on. That should be cleared out, exactly what they're commenting on. And then I think the whole public participation process in terms of public hearings. Now, some of us went through that process in the Fifth Parliament. You cannot rush it. And I've looked at the timeline given here. You cannot rush the process of deliberations. That was one of the biggest problems in the previous round, where we had to outsource, or it was outsourced to a company, which didn't have the capacity to do it, because we are talking about thousands and thousands and thousands. So that must be taken into consideration. I cannot foresee a problem that the life of this committee will not be extended by the National Assembly. That has happened in the past. It won't be the first time, and there should be ample time given, and it should not be rushed, because the results and consequences of these decisions that are taken here has a bearing on each and every person's life in this country. So I ask the committee members to please look at this with the necessary seriousness and rather err on the side of taking time and doing it thoroughly than speeding it through the whole process. For whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know if there is a specific timeline for what.
Right, that people must know what they are commenting on. But I think you must be specific, like Honorable Lesuma. She specifies that 15 days, but if we just say 4 weeks, we don't know 4 weeks starting from where, going where. So, because we really need to be precise. Can you...
Yes, that's easy. It's the whole of February. And February, like this year, is 29 days. So let's make it the 29th of February.
Thanks, Chairperson. We too have written to yourself and the Speaker to request the submission, an extension of public written comment. And we proposed Friday the 28th because of the technicality that the 29th is on a Saturday. Yes. But it doesn't matter. The vision seems to collide. Seems to be the same, in that we are of the view that, the whole of February, let's allow written submissions to be made. The reasons were precisely that after a very difficult year, a long year, when people go to a publicly declared break and rest, we published a bill and requested for people to make written submissions. It's unfair. Access to the very stuff that needs people to write in most of the cases is not accessible because people are saying that they are resting out of a long year. So we don't want a perception that we're sabotaging our people. We think on those grounds, another month will be great. I had requested these information people not to go because there has to be a digital flexibility to the call for written submissions to specifically limit it to the email is also a bit unfair. So I think they must publish a WhatsApp line where our people can also submit both a WhatsApp line and an SMS line. WhatsApp is actually much more accessible in terms of numbers. More people have WhatsApp than they have email addresses. So I think we must take that resolution, and as soon as tomorrow when we release, if indeed we agree, the extension of the calls, we publish that number for WhatsApp. And you would all agree that particularly young people, and that's an important constituency, they'll be both back in schools and in universities. WhatsApp will be the most powerful way to get their input. But I don't think it's even limited to them, but obviously that voice is important. So we agree. I'm limiting myself to these comments, Chairperson, because I'm assuming you are still going to take us through the program. So I will speak to the program at that stage. To the extent to which the extension is what is on the table, we're appealing really, as we have indicated in our written letter of request, that let's extend and we request 28th February. We're not opposed to the 29th. Thank you.
Rosie, you're a honorable representative of the people. We won't suspect you of sabotaging the process. You are perfectly entitled to make recommendations on behalf of the people. Honorable Bongo, Honorable Swart will be next.
Thanks, Chair. I think earlier on my issue was the one raised by Honorable de Bulero, that who really requested the submission. But it's quite clear now that there are quite a number of people who have requested the submission, including the political parties also were participating here. Now that that is the case, I agree fully with what was requested by Honorable Lissouma, that we must extend with 15 days of the written submissions and request the House to extend the whole process up until the end of April as opposed to the end of March. I think that will allow us a much more bigger space. I'd listened to you this morning, Chair, when other people were asking you in the media house, how does this process differ with the previous one? So I think we still need to clarify that, and our media personnel must go a long way in terms of clarifying that aspect. Because my view is that the previous one was speaking mainly about the desirability of changing the constitution. So having agreed on the desirability, now we're dealing with the nitty-gritties of now changing certain sections of the specific issues of Section 25. So that must be made quite very clear. Because I've seen some of the submissions made. They are still speaking about the desirability. When we have long passed the issue of the desirability, we're now in the content of the Section 25 itself and the changes thereof. And I agree with Honorable Ndlozi that let's also extend it to the WhatsApp and SMSs for the comments, because you know, Chair, the technique of decision making is consultation. So we must make a consultation as much broader as possible to make sure that the decisions that we're about to take are long lasting in the interest of our people. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bongo. Mapula. Honorable Mapula.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, Mr. Chair, I would like to urge you to share with the committee members the correspondence that was addressed to you in this regard. As you correctly said at the beginning of the meeting, you are not the committee. And so while the correspondence may be addressed to you as a chair, because you're the chair, I do think that committee members might like to see those letters, and I for one would certainly like to see them. So I would ask you to share them with us. I would also like to know what the process was with regards to the two delegations picking places to visit, how those places were decided upon, what was that process. It was not a process that was decided by the committee, so I just would like to understand the reasoning behind deciding on these particular places, and I'm sure there are reasons. I would just like to know what they are. The extension has been dealt with. In the interest of full transparency, Mr. Chair, I would like the committee members to understand why decisions have been taken on behalf of the committee and what motivates those decisions, just so that we're all on the same page. Thank you.
Honourable Short.
Thank you, Chair. Just to reiterate that the ACDP also in the last meeting expressed our concerns about submissions over the festive period, and so we fully support the concept of an extension for the submissions to be filed. We would support the end of February as well. In support of that, Chair, if it is only 14 days, then by the time the message gets out, that period would have already been passed. So it will take a while for that message to get out that the extension has been granted. Another 2 weeks, in my view, does not make a substantive difference. So we would support that. Chair, we will discuss the program, but I just wanted to comment on Advocate Bongani, who's just said about submissions relating to desirability. Now, in my view, I totally disagree, because any submission can accept or reject the proposed bill. It's not a question of saying, now you must only deal with the substantive issues on that bill. And I don't think it's correct to say we're all in consensus on the bill. I think you might have meant we are consensus with the process and the manner the committee is dealing with it. We have expressed our concerns and our objections already, but I do think it's important for the public to know that they are invited to either support the bill, oppose the bill, suggest amendments, and that is the process that will unfold. I'd also like us at some stage also to deal with the program and the public hearings as we did with the previous parliament at parliament as well, and that would be very important as well. I don't see that contained in this program. So, Chair, I support the recommendations, but I would suggest it should be the 29th of February and that a motion to that effect should be passed by this committee, and then there'll be a resolution in Parliament that must be passed before this ad hoc committee is dissolved. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Lodrick, I think you were right, because what Honourable Swart says is differing with Honourable Bongo really vindicates what we are saying, that we must make it clear to our people. When we say comment, what is the meaning of comment? So we really need to clarify what we expect from the people so that they don't do what is not expected from them. Because as Honorable Bongo correctly pointed out, we dealt with the desirability or otherwise of amending the Constitution. And the National Assembly gave us a mandate to start the amendment process. Now, we must spell out that to the people so that they don't just give us blanket answers which will not take us anywhere. So I think from our communication, we'll make sure that we address that issue. Dr. Ngozi, you are right that the majority of the people are young people. We must use the platforms that are accessible and are attractive to the young people, and then we will follow that up. On the question of who had requested the extension, we will provide that information. But I stuck to the line which says we are not extending because I didn't have the authority to extend. The authority vests with you. Now I can see that you are almost at one on the extension. We'll come to the exact timelines, but I didn't want to arrogate that power to myself because I don't have that power. The other information as to who had requested that we will provide. Honorable Short, what you are raising, I know you and Honorable Bongo, you still have the legacy of the Justice Committee, and you want to carry it over to this committee, but that's what makes this committee lively, and we welcome the engagement. But the time for that will come.
Thank you, Chair. I need your clarity, because to me, I think there's confusion now, because we cannot say to the public that they are not able to oppose a bill. That is very clear. So whilst the National Assembly might, or parts of the majority of the National Assembly might have commented on the desirability, there's still a public hearings process. And every member of the public, as we as representatives, can say we don't support the bill. So whether they support it or not. But I don't want the impression to be created that merely because there was a resolution accepting the desirability that members of the public cannot oppose the bill. Clearly, they can. They can suggest improvements. They can do whatever. So I don't want to engage a one-on-one, but that is my interpretation legally. You can differ. Advocate Bonga can differ from me, and we can have a chat over coffee. So I just wanted that clarity. We don't have to engage in a debate on a chair. Thank you.
That is very reasonable what you are saying. And we are still going to have tea time and lunch, and then the two of you must meet, and we'll also give you time to report back to the House. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Chair, to do this, but I thought there was a very fundamental question that was being asked, that who came up with the venues. Let me use that word. I took it as a proposal that we need to engage on. Hence, my presentation also says that we need to also to determine the venues that we are going to do. So I didn't even look at it as the one for the committee, but I look at it for us to respond to or react on and make suggestions and amendments where we deem necessary. Thank you, Chair.
Finalize the extension, the times. You proposed that...
No, I was responding to the question that Honourable Member raised in terms of who gave us, who decided on this.
Yeah, but now I want us... David.
Thank you very much, Chair, colleagues. I just want to support the extension to the end of February.
We are at one that we extend the period for submissions to the end of February, so we take that as our decision. Unanimously, consensus, wonderful. And then we should then look at the program for public hearings, so that people know that after the closing date, we are going to go for public hearings. And I like what Honorable Lesuma and Mahlatsi were saying as to where we should go and make sure that even the poorest of the poor, the most marginalized sectors of our society are reached. So that when we come back to consider the submissions, we will have had all South Africans and we can then speak on their behalf. And I will ask Mr. Ramano to make a presentation on the program.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to honorable members and colleagues. The program that you have in front of you was drafted on the basis that we would ask for an extension of the deadline. And we are proposing that the committee should be broken up into two groups. One will be doing the inland provinces and then the other one, the coastal. The suggestion is that we spend 3 days per province. And we are also suggesting that, or proposing that the hearings of the committee take place on Fridays, Saturday and Sunday if possible. The reason being that some of the member, some of the members of the committee are chairpersons of other committees. So you might find that if we are going to have the hearings during the week, they won't be available. And then on top of that, there's also the likelihood of plenaries. So meaning that yeah, the attendance of members might pose a challenge there. I will start with the group one. And the proposal is that on the 20th of February, I think that will be after the reply to SONA by the president, we travel to Limpopo. And we are proposing that in Limpopo we will have the Vembe district, Toyando, and on the 21st, 22nd we go to Polokwane, 23rd is Mokopane. The second week we propose that we go to Mpumalanga. We've got Mbombela, Nelspruit, Emelo, and Middelburg. The following week we go to Northwest, and the proposal there is that we go to, either to Vryburg or Taung, followed by Mahikeng or Klerksdorp, and then we have Rustenburg. In Gauteng, from the 12th, we are proposing Western Area, followed by Vereeniging and Pretoria. Group A, still in the Western Cape, we are proposing Mossel Bay and Worcester. When you go to Group B, in Northern Cape, we are saying Springbok, Upington and Kimberley. Free State is Phuthaditjhaba, Sasolburg, Bloemfontein or Botshabelo. KZN, Vryheid or Glencoe, Jozini or Olundi, Pietermaritzburg or Durban. Eastern Cape, Mthatha, PE and East London. And then that group will also do Saldanha and Citrusdal in the Western Cape. And then in that week of the 17th to the 22nd, we will also find space for the committee to have public hearings in Parliament. Maybe just to indicate to Honorable Brennbach, there is no agreement to, nobody has agreed to that program. It is our proposal to facilitate committee discussions. Thank you.
Also, you will see that already the program starts in February, and our decision is that the closing date is the end of February, so that adjustment will have to be made. Nopule, do you want to say something?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is to Mr. Romano. This looks to me, with one or two small adjustments, like pretty much the same program that we followed for the public hearings in the last parliament. So I'm just wondering if it's perhaps not wise to try and go to places that we haven't been to. Most of these places have already had an opportunity of a public hearing, and perhaps there are other places that are equally important or deserving, but that we haven't yet been to, and perhaps we should consider, still bearing in mind the criteria, that we should go to those places where people have the most difficulty to get where they need to be. I've got no difficulty with that concept. But perhaps to places where people haven't yet had the opportunity, rather than repeat the places where they've already had such an opportunity.
Wouldn't you agree that we have been to certain places for different purposes? Now we're going for another purpose. Rather, maybe we should really increase the number of places that we're going and not necessarily eliminate these other places. Honorable Swart?
Chair, yes, I would support that, where there are a number of places we visited previously, firstly, and if we should try to prioritize other areas. That's the first issue. The second issue, there were many frustrated people in the previous hearings that weren't heard. We were only able to hear 100, maybe 150 per day. And at the end, when we left, there were many, many upset people, so we need to accommodate that with the hours. Now, bearing that in mind, I would also say that Sundays you should not sit, Chair, because many people will be in churches on Sundays, and I do not think, and I think as MPs, one also needs to recover at least one day and do other work or travel, whatever. So I would strongly suggest you reconsider sitting on Sundays. Use that rather to travel or necessary, but I do would want to emphasize that many, many Christians in the nation will be in church on that day, and so you might not hear that constituency as well. So I'd ask you to bear that in mind as well. Thank you, Chair.
That just say people of faith may not be available on Sunday, but also I think I want us to look at this proposal of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because we don't want to immobilize Parliament. There will be work going on in Parliament. We want the committees of Parliament to correct. So it makes sense that we use Fridays and Saturdays. Can we just deliberate on that and have an agreement on that, taking into account what Honorable Swarty said? Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members, guests of Parliament and the media. Chair, I think we should not entertain the issue of religion and bring it into such a discussion, because then it will deteriorate our focus. You know, as a Muslim, I'll tell you that I'm not available on Friday, and Jews will tell you that on Saturday they are not available for a day of Sabbath. So it will be improper for a member to now advocate for Christians are not available on Sunday as if we are all Christian. We take exception to such. We would like to please focus on the program and look at the days as suggested, and not want to perpetuate certain religions as if they are senior or above other religions. Thank you.
Honorable Mandela, you are raising a very important issue, because, you know, to be absent from a church and a mosque or for one day in the national interest, I don't think it would harm one's faith. So it would really be a sacrifice that one makes in the national interest, because we have different faiths. My faith is on Wednesdays I'm not available, but I sacrifice and come to Parliament. Now, the Muslims would not be available on Friday, the Jews would not be available on Saturday, the Christians on Sunday. Otherwise, it means there will be no day that is available. Can we reach consensus on this one? I think it's a very important point.
Thank you, Chair. May I just respond? And I appreciate the Honourable Mandela's comments. But clearly, we know the statistics show the majority of South Africans are Christians. So I appreciate, I'm not advocating for any, but I appreciate the Jewish people and the Muslims, but proportionately, all I'm saying is, as a matter of fact, there will be large numbers of people that will not be able to attend because they will be in churches. Now, let's remove it then, and let's argue practicality. You were saying that let's talk about Friday and Saturday, fully appreciative that other faiths would need to be accommodated if they cannot speak on those days. But for a matter of practicality, surely Sunday can be then used to travel or for us as families to be with our families. But should this committee decide to sit on Sundays, my objection is on record and it stands.
Apply the principle of equality of all religions, however small, and say that those who want to go to church on the Sunday that will be in their area, they must come to a public hearing on Saturday.
Can we have church at the public hearings as well, Chair? Because last time we had a public hearing at a church, at the Goodwood Church, you remember? And so we can have a church at the same time with all faiths. We should open in prayer. I think that's very important.
Yeah,
but, Chair, thank you for the discussion.
Yeah, but I think let's uphold the principle of equality of all religions, faith groups, however small, and say as Parliament, for practical reasons, we agree on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's not going to be the whole month. It will just be one day in a month in a particular area, because we don't want the committees of Parliament not to correct. We want to work in Parliament to continue. Do we agree that we'll use the Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays? Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Sort speaks for the majority of Christians. I'd like to speak on the majority of South Africans that yearn for land hunger and do not have any more tolerance of sitting and not having this issue attended to. South Africans have been displaced and removed off the land of their forefathers, and they want this matter dealt with urgency. And we would like to ensure that, Honorable Chair, that as people want to confine themselves to the majority of religions, but we embark on a process of the majority of what South Africans seek. This is why this committee was established, that we adhere to what the majority of South Africans desire in terms of. And I don't want to be speaking to religion or even partisan, but I want to speak to South Africans, Honorable Chair, because we are here with the desire of South Africans wanting the land of their forefathers back. And therefore, we would not want to sidetrack our issues to religion, but based on the real essence of what South Africans have sent us to do. And I think we should come back to what we are tasked with. Thank you, Chair.
I think, Honorable Sharte, you have conceded that we should go with the 3 days.
Chair, I'm not going to enter a debate, but I just want to say that in the last sittings we had, we used Sunday. There was not one sitting on a Sunday for whatever the reason was, whether it was travel or whatever. So I still stand on that view that maybe one could consider. Even the Constitutional Court has said that Sunday is a secular rest day. So we should consider that, but I've voiced my view. And obviously, if the majority of the committee wants to meet on a Sunday, we will obviously mobilize people to go and attend the meetings on a Sunday, because it is a matter of great importance. But we would prefer, as other faiths would express. You would have Jewish people, you have Muslim people that would extend a similar view, that we would prefer that it was not held on a day that is sacred to many Christians. Thank you. That's the end of my submission.
I think Honorable Mandela has helped us. We are a secular state.
Just on that point, may I interrupt you? The High Court has said that South Africa is not a secular state. It does not prefer a particular religion, but it is not a secular state. So I think this narrative that we are a secular state must come to an end as well.
Let's accept, honorable members, that as Honorable Mandela said, we want to reach South Africans. And we agree on those 3 days, or maybe before I speak, Honorable Ndabedita and Dr. Josie, let me hear you, because
Honorable,
I really
Chair,
think we understand, but I want
to... I just wanted to formally support that we use Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And my reason for that support is that as part of the previous public hearings, almost everywhere people were complaining about Monday up to Friday because the majority of people are at work. They couldn't attend those public hearings. So weekends, I think, are better.
Really assisted us. The formal proposal that we take Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Any seconder? Honorable Matazi seconds. Any opposition to that proposal? Only Honorable Swart, but I know you are a flexible gentleman. You will go with the majority. Thank you very much. So we are going to conduct public hearings on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. That's our decision. Okay. Now, can we... There is a proposal on the venues. Do we really want to deal with this here, or do we want our capable secretariat to go and rework this, taking into account where our people are located? Dr. Honorable Ndlozi?
Chairperson, I keep raising my hand because I want to follow this properly. I didn't hear the origins of not using weekly days as well as so as proposed here, and I just want to make it clear in my head that you want us to strictly stick to weekends because some people in the ad hoc committee chair other committees. Is that the only reason? What? I seem to have been lost in the discussion because of this religion versus South Africans debate. Why are we not using weekly days as well as weekend days? I just need that clarity. And forgive me if I'm taking you back.
Good that, you know, since we started this process, we work on consensus. And if, I think Honorable Ndlozi just wants clarity, he's not challenging the decision, but he wants to be clarified, he has a constituency, he must be able to explain. Can you speak to that?
The issue of some members being available, not available, it's one of the reasons. Honorable Buteli, you also highlighted one, you know, the availability of members of the public to attend the hearings. And I think even from the admin side, we would also have some challenges because, you know, we are also supporting other committees. So you might find that, you know, I think that is one of the reasons why we suggested that we should be meeting when other committees won't be meeting so that everybody involved will be available.
There is also some employers who would not want to release their workers to attend the public hearings. Some employers who will not want to release their employees to attend the public hearings. So those are the reasons. Honorable Ndozi.
No, Chairperson, then I object, you see. That's like 2 months of all weekends gone. So once that's too much damage because 2 months of weekends on some of our side means no other work except Parliament. It means during the week we're in Parliament in ordinary committees, and then on weekends we are again on a Parliament duty for 2 months. My difficulty is that there are other, more other pressing things we need to balance. So I'm not, it's not religious, it's not anything, it's that 2 months I won't be able to do any other deployments. It seems to me, very basically, what I'm requesting is not all weekends. So when I was looking at this program, it looked perfect to me because it's balanced. And I then finally want to deal with the idea of other people who belong to other committees. We all do. I do myself as well. I'm not the chairperson of any committee. But we surely there can be some interventions made. But Parliament time and Parliament work is in practice during the week. I'm not saying we shouldn't use Saturday sometimes and Sunday sometimes, but it can be all of them. Imagine 2 months of all your Saturdays and Sundays. There's no other thing you're going to do because I can't also be absent during the week in Parliament. It just seems unleavable. So we might move because maybe comrades, members feel strong, but you might miss other members in the process because there will be other more pressing issues for weekends. Funerals or deaths and so on and so forth. So I think we must not impose a whole weekend elimination of everything. I'd suggest we just balance it. But in principle, I have been studying this program. It's not bad. You know, except I would have added Johannesburg in Gauteng. There are even more days allocated to Gauteng. It's geographically small. There's not much traveling happening. There's no need not to go to a city where there's lots of informal settlements, and you want to hear that voice, it's not a problem. But I don't know. This attack on weekends,
can we accept that the proposal for Friday, Saturday, Sunday has been accepted, but say that you feel there's some balancing act that must be done, and that the balancing act should not be done in this meeting. We, the staff, and will consult with the WIPARI, who are our political leaders. They will guide us how we can do the balancing, and then we don't do the balancing here. Okay.
Yeah, the, the second question is, the program doesn't speak about national hearings yet. And then you could clarify me if I'm wrong. I haven't picked that up because the 14th to the 17th of April, it just speaks about the receipt, the reception of the, or us hearing the public comments as per written submissions. But we are not. Are we not going to have a list of organizations and some important submissions to hear publicly here in Parliament, or not?
Honourable, if you look at the bottom of the page, the 17th to the 22nd of March, that is roughly, I don't know, five days or so. This one.
Oh, one
day. Yes. We have got, I think it's 5 days there. What we are suggesting is that we'll go to two places that will take 2 days to go to the public. And then the rest of the days we will be in Parliament. Yeah. It's just that we didn't, you know, we didn't break it down there, but we have made provision for public hearings in Parliament. We will update that and circulate.
Is it the secretary?
Yeah,
you must have intellectual honesty. It's not in the program. That's a simple, straightforward answer. It's not written anywhere. So you will make a provision for it. So that we're going to, because now you are maneuvering me. There are 5 days somewhere, and then we will... you didn't put it. It's simple like that. So that saved me from continuing, because when the next proposal comes, it's going to say public hearings in Parliament from day this to day this.
You know that sometimes you assume that things speak for themselves or they are implied, but it doesn't say he's not a man of integrity. He is.
No, he's not there. And you see, Chairperson, you have to be a bit strict with our staff when they address us.
No.
It's not provided. It. All I'm saying is, if you're going to still do so, it must be outlined properly, like here. And because that's where I was looking, because this page is public hearings and the places we are visiting. Yeah. So
yes,
can we get that proposal also outlined properly so that we know how to balance it out? Because it's possible you are going to say we must do them in weekends, you see.
Thank you. I want to defend Mr. Ramana. At the beginning of the discussions of the hearings, he mentioned the dates that he would slot it in Parliament. So he did say so. It may not be written there. But Mr. Ndlozi has already admitted that he didn't listen during that portion, and he's asked all those questions a second time. So he did mention it.
Now, we are at one as to where we are going, and I'm happy that the chief whip of the governing party is here, and then where we have to make some adjustment, we will request that the whippery continues to guide us, and they've actually guided us very well in this process.
Chair, if you can assist me, I'm not sure that I missed it. Have we finalized the issue of towns to be visited? Have we finalized that? Because I would have loved to propose the meeting that in KwaZulu-Natal we add maybe 2 more places to visit, not only 3, as it stands there, because of the nature of KwaZulu-Natal and some areas which seem to be contested. And secondly, there was a talk by this committee that we will also invite or meet some kings and queens. I'm not sure whether that will be catered for, and I'll propose also that such does happen.
And we also maybe, because the situations are diverse, request that whereas there are specific situations, recommendations be sent to the secretariat so that they factor that in, so that we don't deal with that. But thank you for raising that that issue. I guess we have come to an end. Honorable Zosi.
Yes, Chair, I'm not going to delay. I have two things. One is the initial, there's no House sitting the whole of February. Which means the Parliament approval of the initial proposal of a month, not the month of public hearings, but the submission date of the motion to the House will only be done in March. I'm just asking that we might want to think about the implications of that or something. And then the second one is a deadline to this whole program. Can we just have an agreement? When are we getting the final? So that, because these times are very close. Are we getting it next week? So with your guidance, I would like that type of assurance as to when are we going to get the final program. And then, yeah, that should be it.
Okay, we will get the secretariat to rework the program, circulate it, and invite all of you where you want additions in terms of places that must be touched to communicate with them. Then that can be finalized in consultation with the WIPARI, so that communication with all political parties is also guaranteed, and nothing is done behind your backs. Can we leave matters there? Honorable Marshall.
Chair, I think what Honorable Mzuzi is raising is quite significant in as far as our work is concerned. I think it is important that we rather approach the programming committee to have a special sitting in as far as the extension, because if we're going to wait that long, it might create problems. But being mindful of the fact that the program was adopted by this committee, I'm not sure if the report that we adopted in the House before we closed, was it making explicit in as far as the closing of submissions. If that is the case, we might have challenges. But if it was not explicit in terms of the actual date of closing of submissions, I think it was our decision here in the committee. It does not necessarily require that we go to the House for that specific issue. Thanks, Chair.
You are correct. It was our decision. Maybe the Chief Whip can guide us. It was our decision, and therefore we are competent to reorganize the program in consultation with the WIPAR. Can you want to say something?
Yes, Chair. I'm sorry, I have to push you on this. I want us to put a deadline to the program submission. Like, we must say by next week Thursday or next week Wednesday, we must get the final proposal of places, of dates, that entire thing. So members don't, because we'll live without some structured approach, which would mean, Chairperson, are we convening again to then adopt that final program? If so, when? It seems to me it's two easy decisions to quickly take here.
I'm told that they will be ready by Tuesday next week. So do you want us to convene and then adopt the final program?
Can we meet on Tuesday then?
Yeah. Okay. Then we meet on Tuesday next week to adopt the final program, which means those of you who have suggestions on the locations and so on, submit them before Friday so that they are able to factor in the place, the places. I see that we are all happy. And I have repeatedly said that from the beginning, we work on consensus. Now I'm convinced that even today we have consensus. And then we are going to meet on Tuesday to adopt the program by consensus. And Honorable Ngozi.
Yes, Chair. Now, can we have this communication of the extension done today? I think the secretary will not think I'm being unfair. It's just 12 o'clock now. Can we have that communication, and then perhaps between himself and the IT people, they can publish, republish the contacts and our specific request for a WhatsApp line tomorrow? Are we unable to do that?
Very proactive. I think she has heard you. I think that will be done. Communication will be out. She's always on time. She's sitting at the back there. Okay. Okay, honorable members, this was very, very good. You know, when we deal with national matters of national interest, we must work on consensus. And I can see that consensus is holding. Chief Whip, you can report to the Chief Whip's forum that this ad hoc committee works on consensus and things are, we are moving. Say cool. Thank you very much. Okay. The meeting is adjourned.